the PD is going to help you hit it further.
Oh,
and it's like right. Knowing the signs, you still got to be responsible for it, but it does make it a lot easier knowing what's coming. And like the Astros are using like radios and like wires and shit, so they could hear stuff. Like
it was pretty sophisticated. It was pretty sophisticated, except yeah. For the trash can banging. That part not sophisticated.
They were doing like Morse code or something.
Yeah, sometimes.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just like, come on, guys, really? Like, because the people had audio of it. Because
millionaires.
And that's all I'm sitting there thinking to myself. Like, you guys make this much money, and we come up with an idea to bang trash cans.
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, I don't know. It's sort of creative in a way, because like I was a catcher, and it was always like, all right, so. You know, brush hand this side, brush hand this side. That means, you know, so you know what you know. Like left side numbers are different than the right side. You know, if I hold my hand like inside my thigh to the right, inside my thigh to the left, you know which sequence to go through. And then you're just throwing like 1, 2, 3, 2, 3, 1, like all this, and it all looks like it means something, but it doesn't because you've already like it's all right. So second pop or second digit. It's like when I put like the second signal I give you, and like people could still figure it out. I'm like, kudos to you, man. Like,
no,
like this inning, and I'm like five, so you look for the fifth one. So I would confuse myself, and I loved when there was nobody on base. I could just go one fastball, just throw it. I'm getting confused, so.
Oh, that is definitely an important part of the baseball these days. Like, I do love how they try to hide that even more now. Like, I feel like they make the signs from their taint area now to try and like hide the signals even more.
And I guess like that's the other thing with sign stealing. You can just watch TV. You know, you could just have one of your grad assistants, your bullpen manager, whatever, just watch TV and go, well, watching the Major League Baseball package, I've seen that when this pitcher goes and this catcher's there, we can see the signs. So we can read what they usually have a nice, you know, rhythm going to. For football, you can look on the sidelines during a game and see guys doing signs. They will legitimately focus on the offensive coordinator, the two quarterbacks doing their hand signs, and then a guy holding up a picture of, I don't know, the Heidi Klum, a dog, outer space, and an onion ring.
Okay.
And it's like, okay, if you can figure that stuff out, more power to you. So this the idea that, all right, hey, you're gonna go to Rutgers, you're gonna wear all Michigan stuff, by the way. And sit in the student section, so you can like take pictures of the signs. Like, okay, coach. Like, don't call me coach. You don't know me. Like, it's so stupid.
Disavow any knowledge of me.
Yeah, this mess is self-destruct. Like, what message? Exactly. Yeah. So it's just it's two teams. Rutgers has got to be one. Cristiano's a crybaby bitch. And I'm guessing it's Ohio State was the other one because they're both former Ohio State guys. Well, one will be. The other one will be eventually. So I hate to think James Franklin, as much as I think he's an overrated coach, I don't think he's that big of a bitch to do that. But probably Mel Tucker going scorched earth.
Yeah, I mean, hey, why not, you know?
Dude, that thing's taken a lot of little interesting twists, too. It's like...
Oh, have not been paying attention to that one still.
They had... So, he didn't show up for his hearing because of his health. So, he didn't tell anybody. He just didn't show up. And then the lawyer had, like, thousands of pages of text messages that were not released, but they got by Freedom of Information Act. And I guess he said he's got like 10,000 more or some astronomical numbers like that, basically showing that this lady was setting him up. Well, now that lady's lawyer has gotten a temporary injunction so that they can't release any of them, but it's only temporary until they, and I'm like, can everyone just stop? Like, just give, and Michigan said, give us $80 million so he goes away. Because this is only going to look bad for everybody involved. So, especially the school. The school can turn out looking really bad.
Because, I mean, wasn't she hired by the school?
No, she was only brought in to as, like, his guest. And to talk to the team, and he was going to, like, have her do like, some other speeches to him. With them, excuse me. That was it. So, like, this whole thing, So, it's another one of these, like, I immediately jump on it because it's Michigan State guy, because that's what I'm going to do. And I'm still thinking it doesn't matter, but because he's going to lose his job anyways, because this whole thing is just embarrassing the university. And that's part of his moral turpitude clause. So, he's done regardless. It's just a matter of how much money he gets. So,
one way or the other, it's going to be a lot.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot more than we're ever going to make. So, yeah. So.
Yep.
And he'll get another job. I was just watching Jacksonville State the other night. And Rich Rodriguez is the coach there.
He'll become defensive coordinator at Alabama at some point.
Yeah.
That seems to be a nice rehab zone to head to.
You sit there and keep your mouth shut. They even did a story on that on game day.
Oh, did they?
Yes, it was crazy. And it was so funny because they were talking about, like, Bill O'Brien was like an assistant. He wasn't even a coach yet. And they're like trying to make it out like, yep, these guys only make like $75,000 a year. And I'm like, only $75,000? Did you hear what you just said? And remember, these guys are millionaires already. So it's not like they're coming from a place of real, you know, humble background.
You don't really hear about coaches and their lavish spending budgets, even though they're making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Always seem to have a nice house, but outside of that, like, I don't feel like you hear about out-of-control coaches with their tricked-out cars or anything of that nature.
Yeah, I guess you're setting the example.
And Bill should have made more than enough money from both Penn State and Houston that he could not work the rest of his life should he want to.
You would hope so, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, like any of these guys, I don't know, maybe we're being ignorant, but it's like if you make $2 million a year at minimum, right? I know you've got, like, agent, taxes, all that stuff. You know, lawyers, whatever else.
Oh.
That's still a shit ton of money. To where even a meager means, if you want to use that word, it's still a pretty nice life, you know?
Yeah, still more money than we're making.
So, yeah, I don't really have a lot of sympathy for people, unless you just get, you know, swindled out of your money. Which is like, you know, it happens. So,
try not to have it happen to you.
Yeah, how many times have we seen, like, artists or whatever, like music people, any of that stuff? They find out their lawyers and attorneys and whatever else are just stealing their money from them. So, yeah.
Those are some real gems.
Yeah. So I'll transition to wrestling. You know, we talked a lot about the rules. So could you imagine, like, I had the baseball playoffs on. I just turned them off because it's out of 7-3 now.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine, like, the pitcher gets up there, and he just starts throwing the ball over the plate, and the umpire's like, strike two. And the batter runs into the box, like, the hell's going on? He's like, all right, let's go. And he's like, what? And he's at bat. Like, the offense comes out, takes the, you know, just runs up to the line, you know, defense, you know, in between, like, change of possession. Offense just throws it downfield for a touchdown. They're like, wait, what? Well,
should have been out here.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's a sound strategy. You know, you're not ready, but they were. So, you know.
Oh my gosh.
It's infuriating how dumb AEW is. It's really kind of sad. I mean, everything's the same. And it didn't even occur to me that Lance Archer, who did he fight last night? I forget.
I need to look up the name because it was some local talent.
Okay, that's fine. Well, like, yeah, you're like, yeah, he actually dragged him down the ring. And I'm like, oh my God, you're right. This, I know it, I harp on it, we bring it up, but it's getting worse. And the thing is, their ratings aren't good. Their attendance isn't good. The product, and even Dave Meltzer said, yes, the product is cold. Okay. So it's not just me who thinks this league is boring as hell. And seeing stuff like this last night, first match, attack for the belt. Second match, attack for the belt. I'm pretty sure it happened again. And then you point out Lance Archer. And it's like...
Yeah, it happened at least three times. Because it was the opening two matches and the Archer one. Yeah, it didn't happen with Shida and Sakura. Did it happen with... No, it did not happen with Wardlow and Nemeth. Oh yeah, Kyle Fletcher attacked Kenny Omega as he got into the ring. So that's almost admirable restraint in AEW.
Yeah, got near the ring at least. You know,
yeah,
in the ropes.
He was in the ropes. Oh, and then, yeah, the Battle Royal was the main event, so we couldn't have anyone get attacked before that.
Why not?
Why
not beat him up, put him in, throw him right back out? That's a sound strategy. And I'm going to keep saying that because that was Taz's stupid-ass comment. I could not believe they actually explained it and tried to make it sound plausible last night. Well, you know... The action takes place outside the ring before the match starts. You know, once you get in that ring, the referee can ring the bell. You know, it's a sound strategy. It's smart. I'm like, are you even listening to yourself? Like, you have to have rules. And, I mean, never mind, they don't for the most part.
Well, yeah, and that's really what the matter comes down to. You know, they don't have rules. And it just makes the product all over the place.
Yeah. And then even, like, some of the in-ring stuff is just stupid. Like, Penta... Who did... It was Penta and who last night? I'm drawing some blanks. Oh, Juice Robin. Not Juice. Jay White.
Yeah, Jay White.
They, of course, go into the chop battle. And I'm like, ugh, I'm tired of this bullshit. Everyone does it. Every week, almost every match... Chop me. I'm going to stand here, you chop me. I'm going to stand here, you chop me. Yay. Boring as hell. And then Penta goes, he hits Jay White. No, I'm sorry. Jay White hits Penta. Penta just played off. He does something, and Jay White stands there like an imbecile for at least 30 to 45 seconds while Penta poses and does all the stuff, slowly takes his glove off. And I'm like, oh, Jay White's just going to stop him. Okay. Like, I see how this is going on. You know, your guy that's wrestling for the main event of your title is going to show that he's not a total dumbass. No, he just stood there and let Penta chop him. I'm like, who wants to see this crap? That should be booed out of the building.
Not a lot of people is the answer. And that's not changing any minds in AEW.
It's, I mean, I know Cornette always calls it Outlaw Mud Show or something, whatever. It's like, it's not like that, but there's no discipline for anybody in this. And it's like, it just makes it tedious to watch. Like, there's no excitement at all.
And we went from, like, I mean, you talk, like, as far as the no consistency thing, we went from MJF not having a relevant feud since, I guess the Adam Cole match at All In was the last kind of relevant match. But he didn't have a whole lot before that and after that because of the nature of the skits. We go from that to, why do we have four people coming after him right now? Like, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I can see that maybe they recognized they had a need for challengers.
Oh, but right.
It's like, okay. Everyone? And really, some of them don't make any sense. Joe lost to MJF. And as much as I love Samoa Joe, how in the hell does this make any sense that he's like, I'm just going to win the title now? You just failed 2 weeks ago. Like,
yeah, we just all saw this.
Yeah, and it's like, and you shook his hand, by the way. No, I mean, it gets tiresome nitpicking this thing, but it's getting to the point now, like, their television deal is going to come up soon. Their ratings are falling. Their attendance is down. People love taking pictures of their down attendance. And it's like, listen, you guys promised us something different, but you're slowly turning into TNA with a budget.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I kind of had to laugh when, what was it? Oh, I saw the headline about, WWE shouldn't get, Chris Jericho saying WWE shouldn't get their heads too far up their asses about the NXT result. And I'm like, dude, you like, are you in that much of your own bubble that you don't realize how bad, like, because that was one thing, like, when I saw those pictures with Edge last week, I'm like, these guys know, right? Like, they've got to know that being at this smaller arena to start with is not great because just less bodies are possible. You can brag about the 81,000 all you want to.
Yeah.
Just have at it. You did it. Congratulations. It's not making up for the 4,000 people in wherever the fuck they were last week. I don't know if it was Iowa or Idaho or Seattle. I don't care.
I think it was Washington, right?
I think it was Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, because WrestleDream was out there, right?
Yeah.
That was the week before.
Yeah.
Anyways, but it's not just one place.
Oh.
You know?
And no.
Like, I was actually saying, the last time they were here in Charlotte was it last January? For Battle of the Belts, something or other. And that's when Cody was still there. So is that 2 years ago?
Oh. I know that they were just recently here in Columbus, so it was just, I was not here to attend, so.
Well, I think the other part of the problem is they keep running the same areas.
Oh.
I mean, how many goddamn shows can you have in Chicago in a row and then go, hey, we're coming back next month? Like, even, like, the Rolling Stones wouldn't be able to sell out, like, a stadium. They play stadiums, so it's just kind of not done really work, but I almost said Taylor Swift, but no, she would. but it was, like, just, like, you know. Like,
yeah. Okay, it's tough going back to, like you said, even in traditional days, territories knew to stay away from places for a while to, you know, give it some breathing room. And Tony Khan doesn't seem to have that in him for whatever reason. Because it's just like, oh, we're back in Chicago again. And it's just like, oh my God, really?
Yeah. For 2 days in a row, I think.
Every time they go to Chicago, it's multiple days. It's just like, there's only so many times that you can go to, you know, even as big of a city as Chicago is, that's, you know, it, yeah, it's just a tough ask.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like a baseball team. You know, they're in town for like, God, what, 82 games a year? 81 games a year?
Yeah, 81, something like I think.
That. And if you're not good, you're not getting that attendance. That's just how it works. That's why baseball can be like highly profitable if you're good. You know, if you're selling out at least 30,000 seats a game for like a good team, 20,000, that's still a lot of money.
Right.
But, you know, if you're good, you can afford to do that. But AEW, I mean, I think really public opinion or public taste has kind of showed you it's not good. If it was good, people would be there. I mean, look at WWE. To draw to try and draw a parallel, they weren't getting house show business. Raw and stuff wasn't selling out. Pay-per-views were, but there was like there's no crowd interaction. They just went because it was there. Well, now that they're hot, they're, I mean, they sold 40,000 seats for SummerSlam, like the day of, 45,000. That's unheard of. You know, and it's like, okay, it's because the product got better. The product's hot, if you want. So, like, to see AEW right now is anything but stale. I think you're just lying to yourself. Like, Jericho just, like, one thing, AEW people need to stop talking about WWE people. Like, that whole thing with Tony Khan tweeting out stuff about WWE. Hey, bud, it's not a glass house situation, but it's definitely of, like, mind your business. Literally, mind your business. Because it's not as strong as it was.
Yeah. And I love how, like, people are like, Vince isn't tweeting about this right now. Oh, he has worse skeletons in his closet. And I'm like, oh, God, dude.
Sure does.
Yes.
And his company, well, his former company is worth how many billions? What's yours worth? Maybe you should try doing some skeletons in your closet. But, I mean, it's like, and it, like, Vince isn't even part of the picture, apparently, anymore.
Well,
which is hilarious. He got bamboozled.
Oh, yeah, and that is something that has not been discussed enough. Like,
okay, we can get to that in a sec, then. But it's like, AEW starts, they have everything handed to them. Money, buzz, anticipation, like fervent crowds, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, the crowds are still pretty fervent, but...
But you can that's the other thing that's been noticeable is that you can tell the difference to me from 12,000 people, 12 to 14,000 in these arenas for the WWE and 4,000 people in an arena. Even though the arena's like half the size, like just that's a lot of people and they're really... Like, I guess I did, in a lot of ways, feel envious of the... Because even the Jacksonville crowds for the... for AEW was... They seemed more rabid than what they have right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, where were they on Wednesday? They were outside Dallas, I guess? Is that where they were?
Or outside Houston, maybe somewhere.
Okay. But that crowd was weird. And, like, even Sting said something. You guys are one of those crowds, huh?
Well,
in a way, like...
That was pretty funny.
They start booing Hulk Hogan. He goes, "Noah, guys, I get it." And I was like, "I don't think you do, bud." But they're not talking about storyline-wise, but... But, yeah, so he's going through, like, all his stuff. And then he goes, so my first match was at, what was it? Wherever it was.
Oh, then, yeah. And my last match is going to be there, too. I'm like, which pay-per-view is this?
Yeah. And Revolution. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, the crowd's just like, oh. So, we got some time? Like... You're not retiring in front of us? And that was like, the crowd didn't even know how to react. It rattled Sting. He was like, they didn't even react to that. Why would they react to that?
Yeah, like you're calling, like, I guess it's cool that we know that there's an end intact, but that's still the end. Like, you may as well, like, everyone knows that you're close to retirement anyway, dude.
Yeah.
Because what was it? Someone tweeted out that Sting was in, like, one of the very first video games, wrestling video games, and now he's in one in 2020. It's just, wow. Like, yeah, that's how long Sting has been around. And I forget, and I don't know if the comparison was right, but the person said that Bruno would have needed to wrestle until, like, 2000 or something to have the longevity that Sting has had. Now, again, did not check the numbers. So if these are wrong, whatever. But I mean, Sting has been around. Like, I mean, I remember as much as it's much maligned these days, the Capital Punishment, was it? That where RoboCop came out with Sting?
I want to send it to you every time it comes up my feed, just because I ordered that pay-per-view.
I have the video cassette of that pay-per-view still in my possession. So, yeah, like, I mean, that got me to buy, but I mean, that also tells you, I'm like, holy shit, that's from 92 and it's 2023 now.
Yeah, he is 64. He'll be 65 when he retires. Look at every bit of that 64, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a hell of a run, and I do think that it's just like, this is it, Cowboy. Like, I'm glad that you're deciding to wrap this up, because as much as I have appreciated the late run here of Sting and him being a complete madman and jumping on to, even if they're about as soft a landing as possible, like him doing table shots or, you know, table bumps
soft.
And all that other stuff. It's just like, oh my God, man. Like, cause that's like a PCO, but older, right?
Let me see. I mean, he's getting ready to retire too. I think his last, he's wrapping up with, Impact, I believe, at the end of the month.
Oh, okay.
No. He's 55. I could have swore he was in his 60s.
Wow. Yeah. So Sting has him beat, man, by a decade. But, I mean, he is not doing this stuff to his body that PCO is doing either.
So, I mean,
he is doing some stunts that I don't feel like he did earlier in his career, but, yeah, he's not really putting himself on the line. So, yeah, I guess to start with, back to the premise, like, yeah, I don't know what you're supposed to expect when, because when is Revolution? Like, is it the beginning of next year then? Because that's that's the only thing that he said that. And I'm just like, I guess as with the crowd, I'm like, oh, okay. So like, it's not happening right now then.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little bit of just really a relief that it just wasn't happening right there. Like, and even when Revolution comes around, I guess even though it's, you know, it's coming, it's still going to be a little bit of a bummer. But I'm also glad that he's doing it. Jesus, retire, man. Like, again, talk about someone that probably has enough money to retire. I would hope that Sting has not been out there partying the last, like, decade plus from WWE and AEW money.
I made the mistake of putting AEW Revolution 2024. It's all about Sting. It's like, I forgot to put date. And it's still not showing what it is. Alright, so when was Revolution this year then? Maybe that'll give us a hint. It was in March, so.
Oh my gosh. So it's like another 6 months of Sting. Yeah. Like another half a year of Sting.
Yeah, and it's not like they're doing house shows anymore. And then when they were, not like he was on them. So it's not like, okay, get your tickets to AEW Live. Sting may be there. Like, okay, no. And it's like on TV, he doesn't really wrestle that much anymore, which is fine.
Oh, yeah. But makes like, 100% okay. sense.
Yeah, it's like get your fill of Sting walking into the ring with Darby Allin while you can. Or Sting walking slowly out to save Darby Allin while you can.
Oh, I mean, I was just about in tears when Darby Allin got attacked. And I'm like, guys, like Sting just had his segment. Like, you don't think Sting's going to come out and help the man? This was some bad planning, gentlemen. Bad planning. And
you see it sometimes, but you don't others. Like, sometimes they try and cover up for it, which is fine. And they should, by the way. But other times, they're just like, yeah, well. Okay. Even WWE's gotten better about it. Like, and of course, it's always, like, you know, dramatic. Like, the person's music starts, and, oh, it's Jey Uso. Then, oh, Cody's next. And you're like, yeah, we know. That's how this
goes. But, yeah, there's always going to be some tropiness to wrestling saves.
But when Vince was in charge in WWE, that didn't happen. They just get their ass kicked for 45 minutes, and then he'd be like, hey, real sorry about what happened to you last week. Yeah, man, it's okay. Like, but yeah, so I don't know, man. It's, you know, Jericho, he's always been kind of mouthy about WWE and stuff because he didn't like his last run, I guess. I don't know.
Hey. But yeah, like, I mean, that's the other part that I guess is weird to me. Like, he always seems to be a smart in the political game. And that just doesn't seem like the best move, necessarily. You know, I guess he's in the kind of category of Sting. I know that he's in his 50s, not his 60s, but That man doesn't need to do anything else to secure his legacy. Like, it's just him still wanting to rest, his ego letting him hold on to whatever he's got left.
Well, I mean, he attempted to put Hobbs over last week. You know, just let him get destroyed, basically. So that was nice of him, I guess. It never really seems to work out for the person who beats Jericho, though.
Well, there's that, and just the fact that this is like our third edition of we're going to push Will Hobbs, but no, we're really going to do it for sure this time. Like, that's where I'm at with him. I'm like, I don't have the faith that there's going to be follow through on this.
Oh, God, no. I mean, especially because you're already surrounding him with a bunch of people. And it's like, All right. You got Takeshita, who, I'm sorry, I still don't see it. Hobbs, Guevara, when he comes back, I guess Will Ospreay? But, like, he's just kind of like the misnomer because he's the free agent guy. So, okay. But yeah, it's just... And then they brought Wardlow back out of the blue as well, by the way. You know, it... The Hobbs thing with Jericho is strange, and I'm guessing that it's a real attempt by Jericho. But all right, we got to start building new people, and maybe that's what that was supposed to be. But what was the follow up this week? Hobbs stands in the ring yelling. Like, how about just showing confidence? Like, I don't know. It's always like the big guys just get angry and yell, and it's like, how about he just comes out and is like, yeah, that's what I do. Like, where the hell's Mark Henry? And what I mean is, Mark Henry should be grabbing Will Hobbs, Wardlow, any of these big dudes, and be like, your stature, your size is enough. You can speak.
Talked about him earlier. Like, you don't need to do the same presentation, but Samoa Joe is the perfect person for, I don't know how many years in TNA/Impact, we're like, oh my god, can this guy just stop yelling?
Yeah.
And then he stopped yelling, it's like, this guy's great at promos. Like, that's all he needed. Even with Wardlow, like, I don't know if I want to call it meme-y, but the whole, I don't get the point of shoving down Tony Schiavone at this point.
Yeah,
oh, great. You're knocking over an old crotchety announcer. Like,
yeah, it's bullying announcers is just boring. And it's easy. It's just an easy thing to do. Before, it was like, whoa. like, no one ever beat up Mean Gene. But imagine if someone did.
Well, and I guess that's the difference, too. Like, people are like, oh, well, The Rock did it all the time. And it's like, no, The Rock berated them. He never physically intimidated them. Well, okay, maybe he faked the backhand, but never did anything about it.
I'm trying to think. DX actually would, like, physically, like, get on, like, Michael Cole's case, if I remember right. So that one, all right, that's a little different, but yeah. And
no.
But they're also bad guys, but it was also, like, giving them a wedgie. Like, they didn't go out and beat him up. You know, it was, like, just making fun of him. Whatever else, but like this, like physical stuff, it's just like, all right, been done. And I know it's entertainment, and it's getting people. It's getting hard to come up with something original. It's like, well, it's not. You could just have compelling characters and an announcer or in ring interviewer who isn't constantly letting the people take the mic away from him. That drives me insane. Like, you're there to interview them, not for them to take the mic out of your hand and conduct their own promo. Like, there's no reason for you to exist then. If you're just going to allow them to take it away from you and cut an in-ring promo by themselves.
There's just too much Tony Schiavone at this point. Like, I don't know why he showed up on Collision this past week.
I think he's the new announcer.
Yeah. Yeah, they moved Kevin Kelly to, like, Keller guy, I guess. Oh. Along with Nigel. It's just like, oh, we don't need a three-person booth.
No.
Especially Schiavone. Like, as much as Schiavone's resurgence has been somewhat nice and taken a while, or, you know, kind of been here for a while, I feel like, he's been a Keller guy and not a play-by-play guy. So, yeah, like, yeah. Why are you putting him in a role that he just really has not done for a long time now?
It's that insistence on their forced nostalgia. Like, Tony, if he was just a backstage guy, it's fine, but now you have Rene Paquette for that. Don't need him. Yeah, I don't know what he does anymore. Except, like, blurts in every once in a while, and usually it doesn't really add anything. So, okay, and then
he gets to say Sting. That's what that's his thing.
Yeah. So.
And boy, do I not care for that.
Yeah. And it's just the sad part is, like, for all the AEW's doing negative, they've got some great people. Swerve Strickland is awesome. He was awesome in WWE. He should still be there as one of their top guys, but I guess that was one of the people Triple H tried getting back, because even Triple H knows, like, this guy's money.
Yeah. Well, we did need to. It will be really interesting, with the other news that we've alluded to here, Vince Foley being out of creative, like, what that really unlocks for them, because I mean.
Hasn't it been kind of obvious?
Ever since, because there was that period right after, was it right after WrestleMania or right before WrestleMania, where you could tell that there were some weird things happening, and then it had Vince's fingerprints all over it.
Well, yeah, like Shane coming back when it was supposed to be LA Knight.
Oh.
And like there's certain people disappearing, and then all of a sudden they're all back. All of them.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that it had become obvious. Like there was like that, and it really was only like maybe 2 months worth of time where you started to question, because there was also the dreaded local medical facility made its way back into our lexicon.
Yeah, that's gone now.
But yeah, that's been gone again for a while, thank goodness. So, yeah, I mean, I think the CEO of Endeavor there realized that Vince was not good for the TV product.
Reading like comments about like the guy, I can't remember what his name is, but I guess he puts people in place and believes, all right, they're in place to do a job. You have to let them do their job. And having Vince, like, interrupting creative is not letting Triple H do his job to the fullest of his abilities. Now, whether you agree with it or not, you can't have someone, you've never seen it where someone meddling works out. I mean, look what happened, right, for our age group, look what happened to the Dallas Cowboys. Jimmy Johnson gets that team, builds that team, wins two Super Bowl. No, wins one Super Bowl, right? He was
Two.
gone? He did win two? Okay.
Oh no, the second one
Because Barry
might.
Switzer.
That might have been the third one, actually.
Okay, all right. So Jimmy Johnson did win two
Yeah, I
then.
think
Okay.
so. I'm gonna go check that out.
Yeah, because they win. I think they won two with Jimmy Johnson. Then he leaves. They don't win. Then Switzer comes in, and Switzer the second year they win.
Switzer, they definitely won because that was against the Steelers.
Okay, so that's a clear case of meddling. Jimmy Johnson couldn't take Jerry Jones.
Yep, two-time champion.
Okay, yeah, he couldn't take Jerry Jones interfering and trying to make it like his team. It's like, I'm the coach. I did all this, and look at what Dallas has been since, because Jerry Jones continually meddles with that team, which I'm not crying one goddamn tear over.
Yeah, zero tears shed on this side of the microphone too.
And we're the Panthers fans here are running into it with Tepper. They're already calling for Frank Reich's job. They're 0-5. I think there's 0-6 now. One of the two. And Tepper's already like interfering with it, like talking like Frank Reich was like, yeah, we had a very open conversation already, and it's like, you're 5 games into a season with a quarterback you shouldn't have drafted, a team that needs to be blown up and rebuilt, but the owner won't let you do it, and then the GM, I don't even know who it is, does not make good hirings. So.
Not does not sound like a great situation.
No, but it's the same thing. Like, let Frank Reich do what he wants. Let the GM, do what he wants. And not having the owner, or in this case, a Vince McMahon, who used to be the owner, constantly going, well, no, don't use Tegan Knox. I want you to use Natalya. Well, wait, that doesn't make storyline sense. Well, she's been here a long time, so we'll let her do it. It's like, why? And we don't want Tegan Knox on TV. Johnny Gargano's too small. Don't let him up. He's hurt. Don't worry about it. Like, there are
Yeah,
others.
the last month has definitely been another one of those parade of names coming back that Vince definitely wouldn't have let on TV that are have been on TV for multiple weeks now.
Well, even Bronson Reed was losing matches. And Triple H
Oh.
gets a hold of him, builds him back up. And you know what? No shame in losing to Gunther that way.
Oh no.
So it's like, oh, so you can actually lose and still look strong. Like, yeah, you made a mistake. Gunther made you pay for it in the end. And, like, that match was fun. Jesus Christ. I wanted that to go longer, but I'm like, I don't know if those guys could have. Like, that final spot, because they set it up perfectly in the beginning when Gunther tried to powerbomb him, and it was like, as powerful as they make Gunther out to be, Bronson Reed's not a small dude.
He is a big, big man.
With some major ups, too. Because, the powerbomb's not all the guy picking him up.
Oh.
And he went up a lot better than Otis did, that's for sure. Otis kind of, I don't think he sandbagged on purpose, but he didn't go up that well for the powerbomb, so...
Yeah, I think that the, not that, Bronson Reed is exactly tall, cause I still think he's only like 5'10" or maybe 6 foot or something like that. But, I think that, maybe extra few inches, helps him out a little bit in those situations. He's not quite as round as Otis. I mean, I know he's a very large gentleman, but, extra 4 inches or so will do that for you. You carry 330 a little bit differently.
Yeah, true. But even like the Otis Bronson Reed match, for as short as it was, that was a lot of fun too.
Oh, yes.
So, you're going to, no matter what, Gunther's having a good match. He's going to force you to have one. And you're going to have Gunther's match, and you're long for the ride. And he's going to make you look good. You're going to lose. Everyone's going to say it's great. And we're on to the next one. And it's up to you to carry that momentum, which I think they've kind of dropped it with Chad Gable. But I think that's by design.
Uh-oh.
I get the feeling, if he's still champion by WrestleMania, I think that's Gable's going to beat Gunther at WrestleMania.
They kind of did the comeback, I'm going to get back into the hunt for Gunther. If they, that's going to be one of those situations where I'm like, if they don't pull the, if he does get that next crack at him, especially after kind of rebuilding himself, if he doesn't win, I'm just going to be like, oh man, it's just never happening for Gable, huh?
Yeah. But I think Triple H loves him because isn't that actually exactly what happened with Alpha Academy? Or no, American Alpha back then. Or no, it was Alpha Academy, wasn't it? Him and Jason Jordan. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they finally beat FTR. I'm sorry, the Revival back then.
Oh.
So it was like they made a point of it. Failure, failure, failure. We lost here. We were supposed to be number one contenders and lost. And then we were there. That was fucking awesome. And especially at a WrestleMania crowd, I'm pretty sure that's what they're building for this. So, but that's what Triple H does too. He always does slow burns. And it's like, all right, I got my plan, sticking to it without the meddling thumb or finger of, sending text messages to him or whatever it was supposed to be. Say, don't do this. So.
Yeah, thank goodness for that. It will be for the betterment of the WWE.
Yeah, I just wonder how he handled that. And they said, well, he's off. Because it made it actually sound like, well, he got taken away from it, and they patted him on the head. And were like, but you've got to be here for the new TV contract. Like, did you guys just blame me for the TV contract not being as great as everyone thought it would? Or, no, not the TV contract, but the stocks not being as good? So now you want me to go do a TV deal? Like, I'm confused.
Well, I mean, he did just do the new TV deal, didn't he? For SmackDown?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I would guess that was him.
That seemed to turn out okay for the WWE and for Endeavor, I would say.
It does seem to be that way, yes.
Because what was it? Something like a 20% raise or whatever shenanigans? I forget what the percentage was, but... Yeah. It is definitely something of a significant raise. So.
Yeah, as long as it goes up. But that's just like the stupidity of like Wall Street. All right. No. Did your TV contract go up? Yes. Okay, good, good. How much did it go up? $1 billion. I don't remember how much it was, but $1 billion. Oh. What? We were projecting two.
Oh.
We still got $1 billion extra. What are you talking about? Well, you're not quite as strong as we thought you were. We just got $1 billion. Like, you're a moron.
We got to knock you down a few pegs.
Yeah. And by the way, that's for our, well, I guess I don't know if it's the B show still or not, but that's for our B show. So wait till you see Raw. And by the way, the next TV deal, we're going to have a 2-hour Raw. That's our deal. But perfect. Please.
Oh, my gosh. That's so long ago. I would love to know. I remember you saying that I was going to go insane doing the write-ups for Raw every week. I obviously have stopped doing them for quite some time at this point, but that was a long time ago that I started those 3-hour Raws.
Yeah, good for you, because I mean, I admit I don't watch them all the same day. I'm like, I'm done with this. It's good if it's good, no problem. And it's, being there live, that show did not seem like 3 hours at all. It went by fast. But the TV, like just the commercial breaks, just the slowdowns, all this stuff, like don't keep you that stimulated watching. And but
yeah, I'll be interested to see the difference between a TV taping and a pay-per-view show. Since I haven't seen that difference in a while.
God, pay-per-views are so fun. I mean, there's no filler. Just get going. Well, WrestleMania, I guess, will have some filler, but...
Yeah.
Even the filler at Payback was a Grayson Waller segment, so that's fine. You know? So...
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's interesting times, because, you know, when is Crown Jewels, what, next weekend? Next Saturday?
I believe so, yeah.
Well, good. Michigan's off that Saturday, so maybe I'll watch it. That'd be fine with me. Like, live, I mean, I'll watch it, but I don't, I am intrigued about Drew and Seth. I'm guessing Seth goes over, but whatever, but, no, I'm just trying to, like, oh, we haven't even talked to NXT, I forgot.
No, I was like, we could get to NXT.
Yeah, well, I was going to start talking about Crown Jewel, I was like, well, it's next Saturday, stupid, not this weekend.
Yeah, I don't really have the card pulled up for that one, so.
That's fine. But yeah, NXT was different this week. I liked it. But it was just kind of weird in some spots.
Yeah, it was quite a come down from last week's jam-packed episode.
So I think my favorite part, and because of how hokey it was, well, I have two favorite parts, and I know one of them's yours too, but the Von Wagner stuff, I don't know why that was funny to me. Sitting there looking perfectly healthy, by the way.
Oh, still looking like a fucking gorilla.
Yeah, and he's got a clean bandage on his head for some reason. And he's just taking, you know, resistance bands, that kind of sucks. We've all used them.
Right.
But it's like, I can't even get this far. He's like, you'll be back someday. And I'm like, I don't think you'd be back someday. That seems like a final resting place.
Yeah, I would think that the doctors would really want you to not wrestle for a very long time. It a minimum, like you should not be getting a TV spot here.
Yeah, it just cracked me up. It's like, yeah, I was born with a split in my skull, and, you know, all these surgeries and this, and, you know, that's why I look the way I do. And then this guy smashed my brain in, so you know, I'll be back in a few weeks. And the doctor's going, no, you won't. Excuse me, sir. Like, and then Robert Stone shows up later and threatens Braun Breaker. And he goes, sounds good to me. I kick your ass. I was like, oh. Well, all right, Von Wagner will be back next week, so that'll be nice. But
Yeah, I can't believe they're finally putting Robert Stone in the ring after many a year not wrestling.
Yeah, I forgot he was Robbie E. And it's so funny because we've been saying forever, why is he in NXT? Like, they brought him in to be nobody. So I don't know if he's back, if he's behind the scenes doing stuff, if he's a trainer or something.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't make a whole. His role in the company is just, it's. I guess that's another thing that'll be kind of interesting. I don't know if Shawn Michaels and Triple H are going to be as hesitant about using managers.
Not at all. It doesn't. That's good. Like, bring him on. If.
Yeah, so I guess he can have a better spot. Like, I don't know why he'd really feel the need to wrestle at this point. Like, he's almost in that Adam Pearce area where it's just like, why? Like, just keep some type of weird on-screen role and, you know, go from there.
Yeah. Like, I don't mind the addition of Nick Aldis, by the way. And I guess he is, like, a talent contract now. So, you know, that guy's wanted it forever.
Oh, and well, then, that's kind of interesting. I guess because of the spot he was put in, I'm like, man, is this guy done?
Well, he was backstage working as, like, on a handshake deal as a producer, like, learning the behind-the-scenes stuff. I watched the interview. Like, Nick Aldis is a fascinating case study for me because he has all the tools. Look, he's got decent charisma. He can talk. He's boring in the ring, though.
Oh.
So it's like, yeah. Well, all right. But I guess he said he was working on handshake. He's like, I want to work there. I've made it known I want to work there. And the funny thing is, as soon as Vince is gone,
look who's all hired.
All of a sudden, Nick Aldis gets hired. So, you know, it's not like putting two and two together. It's putting one and one together. Like, it's that easy. But to go back, yeah. Managers would be very nice because some people can't talk. And, oh, my God. I actually saw a Reggie action figure. Did you know they made one of those?
Oh, my gosh. Did you buy this action figure?
I was very tempted. But I'm like, this is so absurd. It's just like Gary Coleman with dreads. Braids. I can't remember what he has. And it's like, what is this? Why do you have this black guy action figure? I'm like, oh, it's Reggie. What?
That is outstanding.
Inside, it's an inside joke. You wouldn't get it. But, yeah, it was actually Reggie. It was not Scripps. And
oh, my gosh.
But, like, him being the mouthpiece for those two guys works.
Oh, and I don't know why I buy him more as a hard-ass street guy than I did as some type of weird supervillain type of situation.
Yeah, I just by describing it that way, I can't imagine how.
oh.
But yeah, no, so like, he's a good mouthpiece for him.
Yeah.
Trying to think, like, Diamond Mine didn't really have a good mouthpiece in Roderick Strong. Even as entertaining, in air quotes, as Roderick Strong is right now, he still doesn't have the best delivery. Like, even on AEW, he's like, well, you know what I gotta do now, guys? They're like, no, what? Gotta be friends with the asshole, or whatever. You know,
oh, scumbag.
Scumbag. And I'm like, okay, well, it's still Roderick Strong after all this time. So, just some people just aren't charismatic that way. It's just how it works. But yeah, so I like, especially some of, they've got some like real foreign talents speaking in a very thick or unnatural foreign tongue. So yeah, like an American voice or someone with less of an accent would definitely help enhance them while hopefully they're learning. And it also, you know, speech coaches to like lessen the accent, not lose it altogether. You still got to make it part of your identity. But, you know, some people are just hard to understand. That's like even Americans when they go other places, we talk fast. We just don't know it because everyone here talks fast. So
Yeah, there are parts of America I go to and I don't understand people, so.
exactly, that's very true too. Man, I was in Myrtle Beach last week. I'm not used to hearing Southern accents. And by the way, don't ever go to Myrtle Beach. I'm not gonna explain why. Just don't, trust me. And it's the kind of place you go to. You go to the beach, and people are smoking on the beach, and it's like you can't just enjoy nature. That's for a different show. But totally also say, well, but yeah. When it comes to accents, though, it's like yeah, if you got a real thick accent, it's gonna be tough, man. So. I mean, like, there's a reason. Not Jinder Mahal. What the hell's his name? The tall dude. Great Khali. There's a reason he had a mouthpiece.
All.
You know?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's like, fine.
Yeah,
But back to NXT.
all off of Robert Stone getting into the ring.
Yeah.
All off of Robert Stone getting into
Although
the
it would be kind of not funny, but it would be telling if he gets in there and just gets his ass handed to him. You're like, wait, there was no Von Wagner? Like,
ring.
uh-oh.
Yeah, well,
I
that
guess
kind
it's
of should
motivation.
happen.
Although it would be really funny if, like, Von Wagner's, he does, like, the Frankenstein busting off a table thing. And he's like, no! And it busts out of the thing. And the doctors, everyone around him are like, oh, he's back! And he's like, I'm coming for you, Braun! And like, that's how NXT ends. I'd probably fall over the couch. Like, this is hilarious.
Oh man.
As much as they try to make it's still comic book land there. I mean,
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's
Thea
it
Hale and JC Jane are cheerleaders now. What?
I was honestly a little bit surprised that JC Jane did not make the cheerleader costumes a little more risque.
I'm guessing that's coming. Especially if they can somehow corrupt Andre Chase. Like, Duke Hudson doesn't seem to be, like, all that hard to corrupt and be the main bad guy. But Andre
Yeah.
Chase, you know, he's got, they've always shown, like, that, you know, he loses his shit. So,
Yeah.
you know, and then they start dressing as slutty cheerleaders.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, and then you can have the whole redemption arc where Chase U, like Mr. Chase, gets a sweater and a collared shirt back. You know? Oh my God, if he comes out with like Duke's shirt, but like the sweater, but with like the cutoff sleeves, that's to signify he's like turned to the dark side. That'd be perfect. Kind of like just the most bare bones way of showing you're a bad guy, so he's still a dork. But that guy's ultra talented, by the way. So it's like he'd be able to pull it off.
No.
But yeah, so I'm intrigued by that matchup actually. The family versus the school, essentially.
Yeah, it almost feels like you want to keep I feel like the obvious picks were the last three in the ring for the Bada Bing Bada Boom Battle Royal. Because yeah, the other people either weren't ready for prime time. I was a little bit surprised by the school's victory, but also I thought that maybe they didn't feel like it was time for the Creeds to take them on. Or I'm trying to think of who one of the other last teams was. Because I
It wasn't
kind of felt.
Dallas. Oh no, it was not Los Lotharios, whatever they're calling themselves now.
Oh,
Because remember they
yes.
got bounced, and that's why the Creeds are gone, got knocked out. So Creeds went in and took them out.
Yeah, well, and they were at the family dinner too.
Yeah.
The Carrillos or whatever. Yeah, I can't remember what they're calling themselves now.
But it's like, no one else in that had a storyline. Like, Chase U has a storyline, but it involves Thea Hale. The Creeds wanted a tag shot. Los Lotharios wanted a tag shot. But that's like a superficial storyline. Like, yeah, we want our stuff. Like, okay. So I guess they're putting the people on in matches that have stories? I don't know. That's my only justification for it. So, and I'm curious how they're going to get this title off of Becky Lynch. Because I'm not seeing Lyra Valkyra beat her.
I feel like it ends up with the, the tease after the Lyra Valkyria, and we had it on Raw. Where does one, and why am I blanking on her name right now?
What are you talking about?
She just came, Jade Cargill.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It really depends upon where Jade Cargill ends up. Like, she's an easy win over easy win over Becky Lynch if in NXT. You know, or we did have a Becky Lynch Rhea Ripley confrontation. Right. And Rhea is down there on a fairly regular basis to support her dom. We could end up in a situation where, you know, Rhea costs her the championship against someone not Jade. Because, like, I don't think Jade Cargill's getting an assisted win.
No, not at all.
So either Jade Cargill wins in a clean match or, you know, maybe some shenanigans happens and Becky Lynch loses it to someone else.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I can see it happening, but I'm trying to figure out who. And, like, it's too early for Rhea and her to go at it because they want to save that for WrestleMania. And they've been slowly teasing that for months now. So it's like, okay, how do you keep teasing it out? I guess someone's got to win the Royal Rumble eventually. But, yeah, like, Jade, now, she's going either Raw or SmackDown. There's no way they're going to put her on NXT. But I do like the tease. And she is infinitely more important without doing or saying anything in WWE than she was in AEW.
Well,
she was champion forever.
Even the big names have treated her like a threat. You know, like, yeah. I know that, what's her name, that Charlotte kind of blew her off, and even Becky Lynch goes, get in line. You know, like, there's still some static there, but they're also not disrespecting her at all.
No. And I think that's pretty refreshing.
Yeah.
That is like, okay, yeah, because, well, one, we all know what Jade Cargill looks like. So, you know.
We all have eyes.
Yeah, she's kind of a physical specimen. Is that the old term? So, yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't look at her and go, whatever. What did we say? She was, what, 5'9"? Like.
Oh, I don't know.
We did this before and I forget. Jade Cargill height. She was a basketball player, right? Or was it volleyball?
I believe it was basketball. 5'10".
Okay, so she looks like she's 6'10". Like, maybe against Rhea, she'll look a little bit taller. Charlotte, she'll look, I think, shorter, right?
Yeah, because I think Rhea's about her same height. Yeah. Charlotte's a little bit taller.
But then put her in there with Natalya or...
even Becky is kind of on the smaller side, honestly.
Right, yeah. And she's going to look like a goddamn giant, and that's how they should start it.
Yeah, because there's really, like, Charlotte, Rhea, Raquel, Nia Jax, and who else really are at least in that neighborhood of being as large and or larger than Jade Cargill. Like, the... a Piper Niven.
Yeah.
At my that's about the list. I might be leaving one person out, but yeah, she really stands out. Because I mean, even Bianca, well, Bianca's probably there, but she's even a little bit on the smaller side. All things can as strong as she is. I don't think she's all that tall. I guess now I'm going to need to look that one up. Well, just, I guess it's been kind of interesting. She is 5'7". So, yep, not quite as tall as Miss Cargill there.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, she is something special. She looks completely different. And it just, I like how they're just playing the intrigue of it. Like, all right, who is she with? Where is she going? What's she doing? And she hasn't really said it. She hasn't said anything, right?
And
or maybe hello? Or something like that?
Yeah, she's said very little.
Yeah, and perfect.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they have done a really good job of introducing her without really doing a whole lot.
Yeah. But. Yeah, so she won't be on NXT, but like I have no doubt in my mind, like, you know, Olive Akira is not going to win.
Oh, no.
But I mean, like you said, shenanigans, maybe she could.
Oh, yeah, I and I'm with you though. Like, I feel like the if Rhea gets involved and ends up being the one costing her, it's going to be closer to WrestleMania season than, you know, late October.
But what else was on NXT this week? It was a lot of like the same. You saw the ongoing saga with Carmelo and Trick.
Well, I mean, that one did take a bit of a turn, or possible turn, with the fact that Trick got thrown into the triple threat match to make it a four-way match. Carmelo definitely showed that he was a little shook by this occurrence. And Trick Williams ends up hurt before the match can happen.
Yes.
They are definitely doing their best to put a shadow over one Mr. Hayes.
I did like Dijak put on his Twitter account. It's like, I've attacked this person, this person, this person, this person, all on camera. So I had nothing to hide. He's like, you can bark at somebody up somebody else's tree. You know, like Carmelo. I thought that was pretty good. But it's like, it wasn't the parking lot, it was backstage, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was backstage.
Okay.
The parking lot has been safe for a little while now. Not a long while, but a little while.
Well, I kind of understand what you're talking about. But I don't understand. Like, they need to introduce a valet. The person who parks everyone's car after they just tear up to the building and leave it blocking in five people. Or just parking it in the middle of the driveway. Like, any of that stuff. We've already had a security guard get turned into a wrestler, so let's just have a valet guy. You know, he can make it obvious. He can be Wardlow size. Oh, car parked cars. Okay. And that's fine with me. But I wanted to explain how all these wrestlers just zoom on in, leave their cars parked, sometimes running, by the way, and just walk out. Like, okay, you don't give a shit about your car, apparently. So...
No, they do not.
But yeah, so I'm like, all right, well, you know. the main event was fun.
Yeah.
I think Corbin finally found somewhat of a look. Even though I don't remember what he was wearing now, but I actually saw it going, that's not bad. But.
Yeah, because there's been that continued least intriguing women's breakout tournament.
Oh yeah, this is a rough one. What was the one girl's name? I couldn't stop laughing.
Okay, so I'll go with the first match first. There, wow, man, there's three women's matches. Four? Oh yeah, there are four women's matches. Carmen Petrovic against Jada Parker was the first
No.
match of the night.
I remember her first name now, so that's not it, no.
Okay, because then we had Lyra versus Tegan as the
Right.
second women's match of the night. Shotzi versus Kiana James, another women's match. And then was the other Ariana Grace versus Brynley Reese.
Brynley Reese. I couldn't stop laughing when they said that name. I was like, what goofy ass list of names do they have back there? Like Brynley? Okay, just like it's just these names, like these real names, just sound so contrived. And that's definitely one of them.
Oh yeah, that's one where I'm like, we don't have a better stage name.
Like Lola Vice, one sounds like a go-go dancer,
Oh
but
yes.
it's pretty quick. Like it's not terrible.
No, I like that one.
Yeah, like JC Jane, not bad. It could be like a Juicy Jane as well. Thea Hale, not a bad name actually. Kind of different. But yeah, like just some of the other ones, like oh my god, guys, like set up that list of names. And we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, not a great choice.
Yeah, but no, this breakout tournament's not very intriguing so far. So,
No.
although I do like the feud with Blair Davenport and Gigi Dolin. So,
I think Gigi's is finally getting somewhere.
yeah,
Oof. It's
Blair's really good. So.
been a journey, but and yeah, I almost feel like Blair Davenport already has a full character and she doesn't really need a whole lot of anything.
That's why I was surprised she wasn't one of the call-ups, but you know, whatever. So, but yeah, I don't know. NXT was just kind of there this week,
Yeah, not too
for the
much to
most
go
part.
through.
There was nothing special, right? At all. There was nothing special
No.
on NXT. I didn't think so. All right.
No, nothing extra wacky this week. I mean, the biggest wacky thing did happen at the beginning there, with Tony D and Stax eating on the raised platform. That was the wackiest thing that happened.
I mean, they went Italian, right? And now they're really going Italian again. Oh,
Oh.
we've got to have the gabagool and the pasta and everything else. Like, we get it.
They are Guidoing it up to the Guidoeth degree.
I saw that too, and I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah.
It's just stupid.
I just laugh every time. So, yeah.
Yeah, talented guys too, so.
Yep. Good for them. Bell time beer on your end, sir.
I had an allergic reaction to one last night. I'm still recovering from it, so. Or something last night.
On the continued adventures of Kevin DeFranco, I know I've reviewed this beer previously, but one that I picked up in central Pennsylvania, Rusty Rail Brewing, Hostile Architecture, double dry hopped hazy IPA. It is very tasty, and what's the numbers on this? 7% alcohol, 20 IBUs. And they are brewed in Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania. So, should one find themselves in central Pennsylvania somewhere, Rusty Rail makes some pretty good beers. I suggest going to check them out. So, yeah, that is the suggestion from Matt DeFrango11. He is at Granny Mays. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us from Spotify, Amazon, and What was the, oh, iHeartRadio. There we go. Great. It's all the significant ones. Have at it, grandkids. Good night.
Later.